Grace and peace are yours from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The text of our sermon this morning is taken from Matthew chapter 15, beginning in verse 21. Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him, crying out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly." Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." The woman came and knelt before him. "Lord, help me," she said. He replied, "It's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." "Yes, it is, Lord," she said. "Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus said to her, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed at that moment. This is the gospel of our Lord. When a church gets started, there's some things they do pretty early on. Pick a name and decide on the mission for your church. This Sunday, at Abiding Word, we're having a commissioning service for some of our members who are going to be a part of a new church. And that new church has picked its name, and they have a mission statement as well. It's interesting, sometimes the mission statement will come first. It really may drive the name. In order to get the mission of your church, you spend some time in the Word of God and you look at what Jesus says his church should be doing. And it's really pretty simple. It's hearing the gospel, it's growing in our faith, doing all to the glory of God, and then bringing that gospel message to the world. And it's really exciting, whether we're part of a church just getting started or we've been in church for a long time, to think that God would actually use us to do his work. That God would use people like us to tell others the good news of the gospel. It's an exciting thing. But it can be a little bit challenging for us when we start to put it into practice. When you start to do the work, do the mission of the church, and bring the message of the gospel to the community, because for some reason, it always is different up here in our own mind than it is in reality. We start to face some of those challenges and have to talk to some of those challenges and find ourselves in situations that can be very uncomfortable for the Christian. And maybe we shrink back a little bit. This is a great section of scripture to teach us about our theme for worship this morning. The church is for all people. It's a great section of scripture for Christians who think about ministry in any way, about thinking about doing church work, carrying out that mission, because Jesus shows us who his church is for. It's for people who look to him in faith. And it's for people who recognize and need strengthening in their faith. Now, there's two really important events that took place prior to this mission trip that Jesus went on. One of them was with the disciples. They were in a boat on the Sea of Galilee, and a storm blew up on the sea, and they were terrified because the waves were crashing over the boat. Maybe you're familiar with that story. And all of a sudden, they look out on the lake, and there comes Jesus walking to them on the water. After he assures them that he's not a ghost, Peter says, "Lord, if it's you, tell me to come out to you on the water." And Jesus said, "Come on." So Peter steps out of the boat, which is just a dramatic scene. Imagine doing that, stepping out of the boat onto the water, and he starts walking toward Jesus, and then he takes his eyes off of him, and he begins to go down. Peter still knew Jesus was there, so he said, "Lord, save me." Jesus reached down his hand and grabbed him and said, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" They got back in the boat. Everything was calmed down. They went to shore, and they started to see more miracles. Jesus preach. After that, the disciples went with Jesus, and they had a confrontation with the religious leaders of the day, the Pharisees, they're called. And it started because the Pharisees noticed that Jesus' disciples would not give their hands a ceremonial washing before they ate. Now, it wasn't a hygiene thing. They weren't the hand-washing police. But the Pharisees were convinced that you had to observe certain customs and traditions in order to really show yourself to be a member of Jesus' church. That was the way they operated. So Jesus went and taught the Pharisees, and he taught his disciples that it wasn't what's outside that makes a person unclean, it's what's in the heart. And so if you want to be a member of Jesus' church, you got to recognize your need for a pure heart. The only way that happens is through the gospel. So Jesus just had that encounter with disciples, and he just taught them in the presence of the Pharisees, and now he's going to give them an object lesson. And that's where our text picks up. Listen again, the first few verses says, "Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him, crying out, 'Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter's demon-possessed and suffering terribly.'" Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away. She keeps crying out after us." Tyre and Sidon was Gentile territory. And not just any Gentile territory, this is a really bad place. This is the homeland of wicked Queen Jezebel from the Old Testament. These Canaanites were the very people that God instructed his people of Israel to drive out of this land and completely destroy them, because they had rejected the Lord and he was bringing his judgment on them. That's where Jesus went. That's where Jesus chose to encourage somebody who was a member of his church. We don't know much about this woman at all, except what she tells us. "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me." Those names that she gives to Jesus let us know that she knew exactly who Jesus was. This was not just some random guy coming in to Tyre and Sidon to this Canaanite woman. This was the Savior. This was her Messiah, Lord, Son of David. The Messiah was going to come through the family line of David. And this woman, however she found out about it, wherever she heard the word from, she looked at Jesus and said, "This is my Savior." She looked to him in faith. So did the disciples. Jesus' disciples looked to him in faith as well that day as the woman came to him. They were believers just like that woman was. But they were seeing something very different. "Lord, send her away. She keeps bothering us. She keeps crying out after us." The disciples did not see that Canaanite woman as a fellow believer. They saw her as a bother. Do we ever view people that way? They're bothering us. We might not say it out loud, but perhaps those thoughts have crossed our mind. Person who keeps needing our assistance, that person just can't seem to get it together. It's a bother for me. But it wasn't just a bother. The disciples saw this woman not as a part of them. She's like us. She's not from where we're from. She's not from the people of Israel. She's an outsider. And maybe we think that way too. Not sure they belong. Not sure the church, this church is really for them. The disciples exposed their attitudes with that request that they brought to Jesus. "Lord, send her away." Not because she's bothering you, Jesus. It's us. The woman didn't say, "Hey, Peter, will you help me?" She didn't say, "John, hey, can you and James come and give me assistance here and drive out this evil spirit?" She was talking to Jesus, but the disciples didn't like it because it was bothering them. "Send her away." The church is everybody. Everybody who looks to Jesus in faith, not just certain types of people, not just people who come in the way that we're comfortable with. all who looked to him in faith, and the disciples completely missed it. Probably familiar with the phrase, being a multitasker. In your work environment, if you can multitask, you're valuable. You can do multiple things at the same time and not lose focus. You can actually get some things accomplished. Sometimes in relationships, we claim to be multitaskers, right? I can listen to a conversation with somebody in my home and have my phone in the other hand and have the ball game on TV and be fully devoted to each of them. Multitasking. Doesn't work out. Doesn't work out for us as servants in the church either. We do a lot of different things, but Jesus has given us unique gifts to serve in the place that he's called us to, in the situation that's before us. But Jesus is a multitasker when it comes to ministry. He's dealing with this woman, with all of his disciples, and with each of us. All of us who look to him in faith, but each of us who needs strengthening in the faith. It appears like Jesus just dealing with the woman. But in his conversation with her, he's speaking volumes to his disciples and to us. Think about it again. The disciples said, send her away. And Jesus makes this statement. We don't know if he's talking to the disciples, to the woman. I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. What does the woman do? She keeps going after him. Lord, I need help. It's not right. It's not right to take the food of the children and toss it to the dogs. The woman says, yes, it is. Because the dogs sit there and they get the crumbs that fall. Yes, it is, Lord. Woman, you have great faith. This is the second time in the Gospel of Matthew where Jesus has commended somebody for their faith. The first was a Roman centurion who said, Lord, speak the word. My servant will be healed. You have great faith. This woman was looking to Jesus in faith, and he strengthened her. Think about what Peter was possibly considering during this whole environment, this whole encounter. Peter, the one who said, Lord, save me. And what did Jesus say when he did? You of little faith, why did you doubt? Peter needed the strengthening that day. And he got it in Jesus' conversation with this woman. Even though Jesus didn't speak a word to him, his words spoke to the disciples, redirected them. This woman was not a bother. She was a sister. She wasn't somebody to be sent away. She was somebody to celebrate their fellowship with. The disciples got that message. So do we. This is one of those sections of Scripture that always makes me uncomfortable when I listen to Jesus deal with that woman. It's harsh. It seems rude. She was not bothered at all. She didn't walk away. She didn't get mad at him and say, well, you're not giving me what I want. She kept going to her Savior, which is the very essence of faith, looking to Jesus, not just as some miracle worker, but as the Savior. As we hear this gospel account, the Holy Spirit calls us to see Jesus the same way, as our Savior. That's exactly what we find in him. As we think about how often and how easy it is for us to push people aside because we're uncomfortable, because they're bothering us, Jesus wasn't that way. He was the perfect missionary. He was the perfect one who had love for everybody. He did that for us with this life of perfection that he carried all the way to his death, showing love to all people who came to him and looked at him in faith. Father, forgive them. Today you'll be with me in paradise. Words that he spoke at the very end of his life. Words of comfort to strengthen people in their faith. Words for us. Thinking about who Jesus' church is for, it's pretty obvious. He shows us. It's for everybody. So as a church gets ready to start, been started for a while here in the Houston area, thinking about how to bring the name and how to bring the mission to a community, Jesus' example is a good one to follow. He helps us to see how to view people. He helps us to consider who we want to reach with the gospel. And the answers are very obvious. Go into all the world. Go and make disciples of all nations to the ends of the earth with that gospel message. Jesus' church is for absolutely everybody because he wants us to look to him in faith. And he's the only one who can make that possible. Last Sunday morning, I was able to listen to a sermon, and the preacher in the sermon quoted something that Martin Luther wrote 500 years ago in what was called his Heidelberg Disputation. It was in 1518, and Martin Luther made this statement. He wrote, "The love of God does not find, but creates what is pleasing to it." Say it one more time. The love of God does not find, but creates what is pleasing to it. We look for things that are pleasing to us. When somebody's looking to get married, right? You look for something that is pleasing to you. Right? If we want a job, you know, we look for a job that's going to bring us some enjoyment. Friends or hobbies, whatever it might be, we look for something, hey, I think I'll enjoy that. I think that'll be a lot of fun. What did God's love look for? While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. God's love did not seek out in that Canaanite woman, in the disciples, in any of us, something that was pleasing to him. God made us pleasing to him. In the waters of holy baptism, this gracious water of life washes away sin, delivers from death and the devil, and gives eternal salvation to all who believe. God did that for us. God took what was repulsive to him, sin, and he changed us. He changed us into his people. He gave us the gift of faith to look to Christ as our Savior, and he's created in us that desire to grow in our faith. Grow in our faith by going back to the Word. Grow in our faith by sharing that Word as we carry out the mission that he's given us to do, a mission that includes everybody. Our last hymn this morning talks about unity and peace. Those are blessings of the gospel. Blessings that only the gospel, the message of Jesus, can truly bring into our heart and into our life. They're things that people are looking for in our world. Unity and peace. In the face of so much unrest and division and injustice, so much pain and suffering, people are longing and searching for unity and peace. Friends in Christ, God's given it to us. God's delivered that into our heart and has equipped us with that unity and peace, the message of Jesus that we look to. It's what we need to do is work. Whether it's here at Abiding Word or it's at Hope, wherever God calls us to serve, we got it. We got the gospel. We shouldn't expect that we're going to always feel comfortable about the people we encounter. We're going to face that temptation. Hey, that's a bother. This isn't the way I like it. But we have that unity and peace because together, as brothers and sisters in Christ, we look to Jesus as our Savior. And we have a Savior who's strengthening us in the faith. Not just for something in this life, but for an eternal life and for the joy of being able to share that hope with the people of our world. Praise be to God for our loving Savior who showed us who His church is for, who brought us into that church, and who will equip us with everything good for doing His will through His gospel message. Amen.